ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This is Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Text Number 9. Prayers by Manu. Oh, okay. Shri Manur Uvacha. Ijena. Chaitayate. Vishvam. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam. Jena Chaitayate Vishvam. Vishvam Chaitayate Nayam. Vishvam Chaitayate Nayam. Vishvam Chaitayate Nayam. Yo Jagarti Sayaneshmin. Shayaneshmin. Yo Jagarti Sayaneshmin. Yo Jagarti Shayaneshmin. Nayanam Nayam Tam. Nayang Tang. Veda Veda Sa. Nayang Tam Veda Veda Sa. Nayang Tang Veda Veda Sa. Shri Manur Uvacha. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam. Vishvam Chaitayate Nayam. Yo Jagarti Shayaneshmin. Nayam Tam Veda Veda Sa. Bolie. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam. Vishvam Yena Chaitayatam. Yo Jagarti Shayaneshmin. Nayam Tam Veda Veda Svo. Shri Manur Uvacha. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam. Vishvam Chaitayate Nayam. Yo Jayate Sayane Slin. Nayam Tam Veda Veda Sa. Shri Manur Uvacha. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam. Vishvam Chaitayate Ayam. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam. Nayam Devi Daveda Sa. Shri Manur Uvacha. Yena Vishvam. Vishvam Chaitayate Nayam. Yasmin. I am Tim Veda Veda Sa. Okay. Shri Manur Uvacha. The Blessed Manu said. Swayambhu Manu chanted. Jena. By whom? The personality of Godhead. Chaitayate is brought into animation. Vishvam is the whole universe. Vishvam, the whole universe. First twice, huh? The material world. Chaitayate animates na, not, yam, he whom, yaha, he who. Jagarti is always awake, watching all activities. Shayane, while sleeping, as min, in this body, na, not. I am this living entity. Tam, him, Veda, knows, Veda, knows, Saha, he. Translation, Lord Manu said, the Supreme Living Being has created this material world of animation. It is not that he was created by this material world. When everything is silent, the Supreme Being always stays awake as a witness. The living entity does not know him. He knows everything. Prabhupada's purport. Here is the distinction between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities. Nityo nityanam chetanash chetananam. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is the Supreme Eternal. Supreme Eternal. A Supreme Living Being. The difference between the Supreme Being and the ordinary living being is that when the material world is annihilated, all the living entities remain silent in oblivion. Yeah? In a dreaming or unconscious condition. Whereas the Supreme Being stays awake as a witness of everything. This material world is created, it stays for some time, and then it is annihilated throughout these changes. However, the Supreme Being remains awake. In the material condition of living entities, of all living entities, there are three stages of dreaming. When the material world is awake, when the material world is awake and put in working order, this is a kind of dream, a waking dream. When the living entities go to sleep, they dream again. And when unconscious at the time of annihilation, when this material world is unmanifested, they enter another stage of dreaming. At any stage in the material world, therefore they're all dreaming. In the spiritual, however, everything is awake. Any comments? Questions? Complaints? It's okay? What are the three stages? You can get questions, I got questions. What are the three stages? You know, in Sanskrit? Turiya is the fourth state of consciousness, yeah. Shushupti is deep sleep. And I guess Shupti is dreaming state. Swapna, yeah. And then Jagrati or something is wakefulness, yeah, Jagrati. Yeah. So in my background in psychology, they came to the same conclusion, you know, that you're awake, supposedly awake, and then you go into a dreaming state when you're kind of half awake and you start dreaming about the sounds around you or something. It becomes a part of your dream, you know. And then there's a rapid eye movement, REM state, little electrodes there, and you're like, you know, you see dogs sometimes, like, so this is the dream, you're half awake, the rapid eye movement state. Then you go into deep sleep, you know, susupti. And usually they were looking at about, and, you know, the people there were studying about 2-hour cycles, you know, you go like that, you know. And it comes to a little higher each waking state, till finally comes the point where you wake up like that, you know. And they did things like they prevented people from going into deep sleep. And after about 3 days, you started hallucinating and everything, you know. Seeing all these little camels walking across their consciousness and so on. But, you know, it's the same thing. They agree in the different states of consciousness. But when you go into the susupti, you kind of just merge into it. It's like you just kind of absorb into material nature. Just, you know, just absorb in like your experiences at that. Your mind, your thoughts. In dreaming state, you're kind of aware of this. There's actually a book called Conscious Dreaming. And basically the guy is saying that when you go to sleep, you kind of push your boat off like that. And at that point, you can kind of keep it going the same direction. So if you have the hot milk in the Krishna book before you take rest, and you're kind of thinking about that, you fall asleep, and it's a fact. Your whole night, you kind of just have a nice thing. Your last Shayana Arati, singing very nice songs about Radha and Krishna. And your whole night, you can just dream about these things like that. And then you know, you kind of get a little bit halfway conscious. You can kind of reject things or like that, you know. So you can be Krishna conscious. But in Shushupti, you know, it's not even like, I guess the mind, even the mind is dissolved. And you're just absorbed, I guess, in the Buddhi or something like that. Some great level of just, you know, completely absorbing material nature like that. Prabhupada says that, the Bhagavatam says that the plants and trees, they're never fully awake. You know, they have kind of a half awake state, and they have a kind of a dull pain from within. So sometimes you may have had the experience, you kind of half wake up, and you can't, not quite awake, and you're just lying, and your whole body is kind of like not, you know, flowing. You know, so finally maybe you shake yourself out of it, and everything moving like that. But trees are always like that. The whole life is kind of half awake, you know. And then they smell other trees, and they communicate by fragrance, by odor. More studies in this. So if some kind of fungus is attacking the forest, and the guys who are being attacked will generate a certain odor to communicate to the other guys, well, you better change your flavor. This kind of insect's coming or something. So then they'll change their flavor, so they're not attractive anymore to that kind of insect and stuff, and it'll repel the invasion of insects or something like that. You know? So there's whole communication going on, but it's like very slow and just like, you know. Yeah. And all the guys in Shillong, wherever it is, they all know that if you play music for the tea plants, they grow better. So all these places have different music for growing for the tea plants. Yeah. It goes on and on like that. Yeah. But Prabhupada says it's all dreaming. You know, different levels of dreaming, you know, like that. Because in the spiritual world, he says, however, in the spiritual world, everything is awake, right? The land is awake, the trees are awake, it's all people. I was in my word processor the other day, and I wrote like the cow, she did this. And the autocorrect thing said, no, the cow, it did this. Yeah. So it's like there's this subtle, you know, consciousness within the autocorrector by Bill Gates. The cows aren't people, they're just, they're things. Yeah. So this is Manu's first proposition, that God wasn't created by the material world. Was Marx's idea was that God was created by the material world, right? Yeah. That, you know, it was just evolution, and physics became the normative science before Newton's time, and therefore chemistry lost out, alchemy became a secondary science, and so chemistry has to be based upon physics, and then biology has to be based upon chemistry, and then psychiatry is based upon biology, and then psychology is based upon psychiatry, and sociology, and finally you get theology, you know, which is the most ethereal, epiphenomenological product of evolution. And Marx, some quote, I have to find the source, he said, God is an idea evolved by society to calm our fears of the unknown, you know. And he wasn't like, you know, angry at God. It was just that evolution was wonderful. Evolution is so wonderful. It's produced the idea of God. Isn't evolution wonderful to see? What'll it do in the future? Like that. You know. So but that was his idea. It was that God is created by, you know, by material nature. Whereas he says, the Supreme Living Being has created this material world and animation. There's not that he was created by this material world. You know. And then finally, when the whole thing just goes back in. And again, it probably says that you go back into the sleeping condition or dreaming condition. So that's when you go back into the body of Mahavishnu at that point. The body of Mahavishnu. Because when you turn away from Krishna, you turn away from everything. It's Krishna's house, Krishna's friends, Krishna's party, Krishna's okay. You know. So you go into the body of Mahavishnu in a comatose state, you know, just like that. But out of his kindness, and he creates this whole, you know, mental hospital, where you can fantasize all these things. I am me, Tarzan, you, Jane, him, Cheetah. Here we go again. Me, Napoleon, you, Bonaparte. You know, oh, yeah, okay. Well, no, Napoleon. Josephine. Yeah, him, Wellington. Yeah. So, you know, the same thing again. You act it out. You know, but it's like a mental hospital. You know, Spanish, manicomia in Spanish. Nut house. Yeah, I guess that's what it means. Okay? That's Manu's first proposition. Everything is being created by Supreme Lord, not that he's created by things. And if we, in the Turiya, in the fourth state of consciousness, then we can perceive him. You know, he's not matter. He's there in that fourth state of consciousness. So the Vedas describe all these things kind of indirectly, even Manu, that Manu's prayers are not very, you know, elevated in that sense. It's more just, what is, you know, Paramatma? What is this? Is this Krishna? Who's awake when the material manifestation is not here? Yeah. Is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu? I heard there's a break in the Sampradaya, and you watch this thing. Some Sampradayas say that Paramatma is still there, and some say he's not. But our original position is the Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Paramatma, both at that point merged back into Mahavishnu. The material nature is still there, but it's not manifested. It's like my fist. Right? It's not manifested. So Prakriti is a manifested form, and Pradhan is a non-manifested form. And it's there with Mahavishnu. He's aware of everything. Like that. So I'm not even sure it's going to Mahavishnu here. Material is created for some time, it is annihilated. He remains awake through all these conditions. Yes, sir.
Because in all of the language, this is like the primary argument for the existence of God. Because the idea is that a body of death will stay and like, won't move. And the material world is fundamentally dead.
Yeah.
So therefore, there must exist something that animates something that moves. And therefore, from that, you can get the existence of the jiva. And then from that, you will find things that hey, the living entity is not independent. Because living entity. Because then why would he put up with all the suffering? He was self-animated. You could get rid of your own suffering, but you cannot. So there must be an instigator for this is the creator, that some creator is giving inspiration for. And so there must be some animating of the entity, and that's the super soul. But then he says the super soul cannot be independent either, because the super soul exists in this world, so if God were completely lost within the world, and did not make and so therefore there must exist someone who is beyond the superstar. So from the existence of simply matter, the fact that matter needs animation, kind of works from where the
So in the Phaedo, one Western historian, he said that all of Western philosophy is just a footnote to Plato. Say the last dialogue. Very nice to read. Very interesting. The devotee is very interesting. He's about to take the poison and everything else like that. But he goes through all this stuff and he says that one of his disciples have some worry about this gyan process like that. And he said, yes, it's a fact. You can maybe try and find some basic postulate and think about it very carefully and consider it and go from there. But he's saying that, but it's not gonna really, even I have doubts. That by gyan, this is the point. Gyan takes you so far, and the point you see, this is as far as this introspective process, this wisdom can take me. And it's the four kumaras, right? And there's no doubt left. But still, there's not complete. And that's you have to have, that descending knowledge at that point. There's a nice purport in the first canto. It probably goes through this whole analysis like that. And he says, you can come to Paramatma, Garbhadaksha Vishnu Paramatma. You can't come to Krishna as a person without descending knowledge. Like that, So Jiva Goswami, at that point, at least you can come to the point of the necessity of descending knowledge, right? I think he does that, right? That's what he does. So therefore we had to understand we have to hear from outside source. And they actually probably already have heard from outside source, otherwise he wouldn't be speculating like this, really. What Gödel's proof? You know what it is at all? Because you're trying to establish a logical system that was completely consistent, like that.
He says something like that no theorem can be, or no system can be proved valid using the
It has to be at least one postulate which is independent of the system, like that. Because they were trying to establish that completely self-sufficient, self-creating a system like that. His time, started 20th century or something. And so he showed, and then what's his, then Sataputta says, well, that's only true up to third level calculus. he's Gyani, he can go on forever, including all these systems. So, you see, Manu's next proposition is, text 10. Atma, the super soul. Avasyam. The living everywhere.
Living everywhere.
Abhasyam. Idam. This universe. Vishvam. All universes. All places. Yat. Whatever. Kinchit. Everything that exists. Jagatyam. In this world. Okay. Which vibhakti is this? That's how Sanskrit is too. Because jagat is universe. And that's nominative. Okay. What would jagatyam is what? Okay, like that. There's eight case endings. To Krishna, from Krishna, well, with Krishna, by Krishna, at Krishna, in Krishna. I'm trying to learn Sanskrit here. Actually, when Prabhupada said I wrote my books with the impression that anybody who studied them thoroughly would learn Sanskrit. A little help with that, so you know, like, well, this is something like a few hour course. You can go over the general principles, and then you can take advantage of all these word by words. Because jagat, jagat yam. Okay, jagat yam means in this world, in this jagat. Okay. Jagat, everything, animate and inanimate. Tena, by him. Chak tena, allotted. Bunjitaha, you may enjoy. Ma, do not. Cigarette mat pijiega, please do not smoke cigarette. Okay. Gridaha, accept. Kasya, slit of anyone else. Dhanam, the property. Atmavasyamidam vishvam. Yakinchit jagatyam jagat. Tena tiyak tena bunjitaha. Magrida kasya svid dhanam. Okay. Within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His Super Soul feature is present everywhere, wherever there are animate or inanimate beings. Therefore, one should accept only that which is allotted to him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. Now, my suspicion here is that Prabhupada will talk about killing animals. Right? 4-page purport. We'll take turns reading it here. Having described the situation of the Personality of God and His transcendental Swayambhu Manu for the instruction of sons and grandsons in his dynasty, which I guess includes all of us, is now describing all the property of the universe as belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manu's instructions are not only for his sons and grandsons, but for all human society. The word man, or in Sanskrit, manusha, has been derived from the word Manu. For all the members of human society are descendants of the original Manu. Manu is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4:1, where the Lord says, Iman vivasvate yogam proktavam aham avyayam vivasvam manave praha manu ikshvakave bravet. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, vivasvan. Vivasvan to Manu, father of mankind, Manu turned to Ikshvaku. Swayambhu Manu and Vivasvata Manu have similar duties. Vivasvata Manu was born of the sun god, Vivasvan, and his son was Ikshvaku, the king of the earth. Since Manu is understood to be the original father of humanity, so human society should follow his instructions. You all want to read? You all want to read?
The property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as a super consciousness, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetrakyam Chabhimam Vrithi Sarva Kshetreshu Kaya. In every field, in other words, in every body, the Supreme Lord is existing as the super soul. The individual soul is given a body in which to live and act according to the instructions of the Supreme Person. And therefore, the Supreme Person also exists within every body. We should not think that we are independent. Rather, we should understand that we are allotted a certain portion of the total property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding will lead to perfect communism. Communists think in terms of their own nation, but the spiritual communism instructed here is not only nationwide but universal. Nothing belongs to any nation or any individual person. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the meaning of this verse. Atma vasyam idam vishva.
Whatever exists within this universe is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah.
The modern communistic theory and also the idea of the United Nations can be reformed, indeed rectified. By the understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is not a creation of our intelligence, rather He has created us. Atma vasyam idam vishvam, isha vasyam idam sarva. This universal communism can solve all the problems of the world.
God. Yeah. Yeah. Same phrases occur again like that.
Once you learn from the Vedic literature that one's body is also not the property of the individual soul, it's given to the individual soul according to his karma. Karma
We had a good opportunity in South America. We try to do preaching, see where people have interest. And we came, Ricardo Palma, which is the university we had connection with to start with, was there giving classes and programs. Brother Dibyabani is she's head of the School of Modern Languages. There's like five PhDs. So then we had contacts doing programs. Then I discovered actually they're a real strong area. They're one of the best 7 universities in Peru, and they're like a private school, you know. And they're a real strong area because they're not that big as architecture. So on. And they met some of the architects there. Okay, well, we have architecture. Vastu. And then one devotee in almost simultaneously in Mendoza, which is where the word Mendocino comes from, Mendocino County. And it comes from Mendoza. It's in the top of the Andes down in Chile and Argentina. So he was actually an architect and was actually going to be being appointed a professor at the university there. You know. And so he said, well, you can do a whole week program in architecture here, like that. You know? So I researched Vastu and Gadadhar Das, Marker Schmeichel, that's his book. He has an academy in Germany, which is really developed. You know? And I studied a lot. And I was looking at India, Dr. Bandhopadhyaya, for books and stuff available on it. And One book everybody said we kind of needed was by D.N. Shukla, called Vastu, two big volumes. So their library was closed, you know, cause Durga Puja. So I had to go back to Delhi. He gave me the contact of one daughter of one of his friends, a scholar, for her name. She's at the Delhi, was a National Museum Institute. So I went there. And we talked a little while, and she said, "Oh, you want that book?" He said, "Yes, that's very good." He said, "But somebody stole it from our library. We haven't got a copy." So, you know, he says, "Here's a list of some booksellers. They might have it. But honestly speaking, if they got it by, it's probably going to cost you like $100 or something like that. You know? It's out of print." It was very good. So I started calling. Third place I called, everybody said the same thing. "Yeah, it's out of print. We haven't got it." You know? Third place, the guy said, "No, one second, you know." "So, yeah, back in the back, I got one set here, you know." "So how much do you want?" $35. Bought it, put it back. It was very good. You know, it's a history of Vastu from the academic point of view, like that. And Gadadhar Singh is a view from the, you know, from the internal tradition, like that. You know, but it's the whole point. You know, the same thing too is that everybody, you know, so many times people have so much interest in architecture, beautiful buildings like that. We're coming back from India one time, and on the screen as they were flying over different places like that, slowly they would show like the city and the architecture of that city and stuff, the buildings and stuff, you know. So it's such a very natural expression of human passion and stuff, is architecture. And the Vastu goes through this whole thing. There's three kinds of buildings in the art and architecture in Vastu. Buildings for ordinary human beings, buildings for the king, royalty, who's, you know, a human god, and then buildings for temples like that. And then different kinds of architecture, and different places in the city, in the country. You place the temples in different places, different standards, and you have different reactions in the body. And yes, when you build like that, when you're building for God or for the king or the people, yeah, you satisfy all your desires. Your passion is satisfied, like Prabhu says. And then in the end, the deity is installed there, and Krishna is there, and you feel his presence. He reciprocates. You know? And so all of your work seems like, you know, successful, like that. There's so many details of how to engage the mind, the senses. You know, certain distances automatically seem natural, right? You know, too close, it seems like the same thing. Too far apart, it seems like two things. Or at a certain point, you know, chandi, rhythm, distances, like the size of the altar here, the size of the throne, the size of the building, the position of the plot, position of the city, it's all echoes. So finally, when you're sitting looking at the deity, you feel like, you know, it's a properly respected part of the city and everything else like that and stuff. Very satisfying. So, any comments about art? And it creates a reaction in your body, you know, a very deep reaction to see certain proportions like that. But a Manipuri group, you know, Abhinayas, postures and dances, you know, certain postures, like, you know, again, if you just, you know, if I stand like this, you know, it's aggressive posture, but if I, like this, you know, automatically the posture, these are echo from the spiritual world. You know, certain postures mean certain things. You know, even like bears and dogs and stuff, you know, I was photocopy, lifted it up, somebody had left something on the other thing there, I looked at it, it was like dog psychology. Just a few days later, I was at someone's house, and there was an older dog that had been there a long time, and a new dog they brought, you know. The new dog came out in the morning, greeted the old dog, and it is exactly what this thing said, in terms of, like, you know, showing communication and stuff like that. And the old dog responded like this and that, you know, like that. It's like, wow, maybe I'm going to taught them this. You know? Certain things are just universal, like, you know, how you show respect or something like that, you know. Yeah. Okay. Good morning.
Deserves to be punished by the law of nature. Wow.
Of course, we need to be maintained. If you need to be maintained and thinking, aha, there's not a connection. But since the Supreme Lord, the personality of God, has provided these necessities in life for the birds and bees, why not for them? There is no need for economic development.
Wow. Maybe. But in America, when you're going to tell your children about sex life, you say, well, I'm going to tell you about the birds and the bees now. It's kind of a euphemism in America for, you know, these little things like that. So I'd also maybe Prabhupada is also, you know, kind of, because it says eating, sleeping, mating, defending. I don't know. But it says in the next instruction, you should think like this. You should try and understand what the internal consciousness of the spiritual master is. And the Paramatma will help you. You actually start to see things like that. Same ideas developing and subtle things like that. So maybe it is the birds and beasts. I don't know. Maybe it's the birds and beans. I don't know. They're changing probably.
There's no need for economic development.
Yeah.
Everything is provided.
Yep. I haven't got to go to work today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Therefore, once you understand that everything belongs to Krishna, and with this idea, I'm going to think this high.
Jai.
However, if one interferes with the announcements of others, he is a thief. He should not accept more than what we actually need. Therefore, if by chance you get an abundance of money, you should always consider that it belongs to the Supreme Personality of the Lord. In Krishna consciousness, we are getting sufficient money, but we should never think that the money belongs to us. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of God and should be fully distributed to the workers for the wages. No devotee should think that any property or money belongs to him. To quantify that any portion of property of this huge universe belongs to anyone, he is to be considered a thief and is punishable by the law of nature. No one can surpass the vigilance of the pure nature to hide the conflicts from the pure nature. If human society can lawfully claim that the property of the universe, either partially or wholly, belongs to mankind, all human society will be cursed as a society of thieves and will be punished by the law of
nature. Wow. Baba Ji, God. Yeah. And Prabhupada was saying that, you know, suddenly all beautiful girls belong to Krishna. You should cook for him, sing for him, dance for him. He says, therefore, marriage is kind of a stealing. Stealing. Like pretty girls being stolen right there. All thieves like that. You guys there, you three guys. Yeah. What a Shubhari Yushya. But Prabhupada says, like a farmer is growing cucumbers. If somebody comes along and picks one cucumber and is eating it, and the farmer looks over and, you know. So Prabhupada says marriage is a kind of cucumber theft. But Krishna allows it. But Krishna allows a little cucumber theft. So, you know, yeah, that's the idea. You know, legal arrangement like that. So, of course, it's both ways. Ladies are also, you know, this guy's strength and intelligence belongs working for Krishna, but I'll put him to work making a house for me also. There's a material world going on. But you know, even marriage is a point. Even marriage is kind of like a little bit of stealing from Krishna. But you know, it's okay. If you take it for educational purposes, we're discussing this, right? Radhika wrote me, he said, I know all the philosophers, I'm a big educated person, right? But I think I can beat the system. I'll meet Tarzan, you Jane, and Cheetah's coming. Cheetah. Yeah, this is Kardama Muni. Yeah, Kardama Muni had to go through this, what is speaking of us. I was married, you know, did that one time. Hopefully I'll never do it again. And I was in India, in Kamivan, on the Parikrama, Brajanda Parikrama, I went to get a photocopy made, you know, some simple machine. And the wall, this is India, you know, it says, to marry once is duty. To marry twice is stupidity. To marry three times is madness. Like that, you know, so good. You know. So I was married once, you know, maybe, hopefully. You know, everybody, my wife also agreed with this. Yeah. So the idea of human life is naturally, as you take birth, Okay, then probably if you're taking birth, you have material desires, you've got a material body. Okay, so you go, you know, Kardama Muni, you go through this one last time, Kardama and Devahuti, and you go through it this time fully conscious, and try the whole thing out, and you see, yeah, we're not, you know, Radha and Krishna, sort of thing. But in the spiritual world, are there couples, are there jivas that are married in the spiritual world? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, they travel in airplanes together. But it's all because that's the best way to serve Lakshmi and Narayan. You know? So it's all for a spirit serving attitude like that, you know, relationship. So even material world, you can develop that. You know, you see some devotees, right? You know, in ISKCON, a very nice, you know, marriage relationship that's just overwhelmingly for the purpose of serving Krishna. You know? Not to take advantage of their mutual potencies to, you know, to enjoy, to conquer the world. Or cucumber theft. What else do I want to hear? There's no need for economic development. Everything is provided. Yeah. So Prabhupada makes that point. In the end, you should just think whatever work I'm doing is just, you know, it's just integrated in the Sankirtan movement. Like that. Krishna's already arranging everything. It's just, you know, my way of participating in the Sankirtan, I meet people this way. And also, you know, Krishna, you know, when he gives examples, some father may tell, he's dying and tells his soul, okay, if you go out and between the two trees, it's 20 paces. So if you start from the elm tree and walk 5 paces, that's why I buried this box of gold that we see from your grandfather and stuff. So he says, you know, you have to go out and dig. You have to go take a shovel like that, you know, and dig. But, you know, it isn't, you have to earn all the money, you know. So the same way, he says, you know, yeah, we have to make a little endeavor, you know, to make our economic development in different ways like that. You can do something, you know. Sannyasi may not like traveling, but okay, you got to travel. And, you know, okay, but okay. Then the economic things come like that. Right? And the real business is how actually to try and touch people's hearts and change them and inform them, educate them. That's the real work. You know? And it's work, right? Educating ourselves and then, you know, how to reach people, how to get the message across. One time, one man was trying to get his donkey, his mule, to cross the bridge. He had all his goods loaded up. He was going to the city early. He had to go to a good place in the market and make a lot of money. But it was okay until he got to this bridge, and the mule became frightened, wouldn't cross the bridge. And he sees everybody else crossing the bridge with their wheelbarrows, their push carts, and their animals, and they're getting all the good places in the market, you know. Getting more and more agitated. He's screaming and yelling at the mule, pulling him. Nothing happens. So finally, another man comes along this and sees this, and he says, you know, friend, you're doing this all wrong. You got to talk to him gently. You try it. I've been trying for half an hour. You know? So the man says, okay, watch. You know? So the man takes the bridle, looks down, there's a big board on the ground, picks it up and hits the mule right in the face. The mule almost falls over. He says, come on, come on. The mule follows him across the bridge. And the owner is stunned and runs after him. He says, what are you doing? You could have killed my mule. Like that. You hit him in the face. He said, you're going to talk to him gently. The man says, yeah, you got to talk to him gently. But first, you got to get his attention. Right? So he was preaching, right? And somehow or other, through threats of violence or beautiful art or nice food, you know. I mean, Mother Maharani, she's Lokanath's wife, left her body, you know, some time ago, you know, puppeteer. But she's a really good cook, very nice. And, you know, every aspect, like beautifully presented and everything. That's why these Bhaktivedanta Institute programs, big Nobel laureates and scientists and devotees presenting all these great big, plenty of autumns, big presentations like the wind blowing. But you can see all these big Nobel laureates, seeing the devotees are kind of looking like when, they'll say, you know, 10 o'clock coffee break. Because you know? At 10 o'clock they're all running back over their plates and looking like this and that, you know, and taking some of that, you know. And, you know, for about 2 hours after that you have intelligence. By taking prasadam like that, you taste whatever you eat for hours afterwards. You can feel that, your whole body, you're like, tasting it. So prasada makes you like, you know, fine. You appreciate these things. So who was the biggest Bhaktivedanta Institute preacher? You know, I mean, honestly speaking, I don't think she knew the difference between an atom and a molecule. Well, what's the difference between the two like that? You know? But, you know, very expert in a whole way like that and stuff. So that's the whole thing is finding our position in the Sankirtan movement. You know, and then just participating. You know? Some people, I mean, I know that some devotees are good at making money. They say, that's what I just can do it. You know, just, I see like, ah, yeah, yeah. You know? Somebody else is good at management. You know? So you find your position. You uses a combination of these four services. Personally, I am Shudra, Brahmana, Brahmana, Brahmana. I tried being a Vaishya, and that was a, I escaped without too much damage to anybody. And this temple president also, they got me out of there pretty quick. I couldn't tell lies. That was part of the thing. It could be, it was just too idealistic. You'd have to confront every situation head on and honestly and stuff like that. And it was like, oh, you know, presidents are going to be able to lie about things. You know. So, come here, tell me, like, what? Just come 15 minutes. It's okay. In the kitchen like that. It's okay. You know, so, 2 hours later, you know. Manu's proposition and Prabhupada's amplification. Yeah, it's just like Isopanishad. Om Purnam Madhya Purnamidat. The Lord's first verse, God's the cause of everything. He's independent. And you know, from Him everything comes. The next verse is that everything is, He owns everything. You know. And that we have, our right. You know, even in a transcendental position, we're as good as God. We're little, you know. We have this right. You can even challenge God. You know, we have a right to some prasad like that. You know, well, I don't want to give my prasad. We have a right. Give us some of that. Have your remnants there. Oh, I want to be humble. No. And you can't. Lord Chaitanya, what is it? Mama Thakur? Play the part of the name. Mama means uncle. He was the devotee. He took the remnants of every devotee and every Vaishnava in Bengal or something like that. He would hide in the trash pile and take mangoes like that if they wouldn't give him anything like that. So then he went to Jagannath Puri with everybody. And Lord Chaitanya would wash his feet in one place before he went into the temple like that. It was a strict rule that nobody, not even Nityananda, nobody could take that water. Nobody would do it. So they went there one time and then washing his feet. And Mama Thakur puts his hand right under, what is speaking of taking the apple, right under was coming off his feet and drinks it. And everybody's like, shocked. He does it again. There's more shock. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't say anything. You know? He does it three times like that in front of everybody. You know, and even Nityananda and Sudamana can't do this. So for a third time, he holds his hand and he says, I fulfill your desires as far as possible. And then he turns to Sudamana and he says, just see this by the bad character of your Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he got to understand that he's like, so he takes him by the ear and says, oh, you rascal, like that. You know? It's an external, like, thing. And everybody can, most people can appreciate it. It's all just an external thing just to keep the standard like that. So the example of this is the power of taking the remnants of Vaishnavas, you know, that even the Supreme Lord Himself becomes obligated, you know, like that. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. Prasad ki. Mahaprasadam ki. Okay, back to Radha. See you all tonight. Where do we go tonight? It's like a disco or something.